Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast. On a cold January afternoon, in 1999, the Wildcats were up by one against New Mexico, with 6 seconds remaining on the clock. Just kidding, it was four. But the Lobos had 6 seconds to get a shot off, according to Lute Olson. New Mexico beat the Wildcats, and due to a game clock malfunction, Lute Olson and the Wildcats would never return to Albuquerque until Sean Miller took over. And now in 2017, the Wildcats return to Albuquerque.
You said game clock malfunction. I just couldn't help but think what kind of malfunction people must think we're having right now.
Oh, I know. What kind of start to a podcast is this? Thank you for listening to the Wildcast podcast right here on the Wildcaster app and Tucson.com. I am Justin Spears. That is Dominic Bachaco. Usually when we're together, it's an all basketball podcast. We're just going to get some quick couple of basketball hits in, and then Michael Lev, the football beat writer, he'll be joining us, talking to us all about everything that's that you need to know leading up to the Foster Farms Bowl, his quick thoughts on Purdue, the big news that happened with Arizona football returning a couple players, and of course some accolades. So Dom, Arizona basketball, they go to play New Mexico this Saturday at the Pit in Albuquerque for the first time since that 1999 game that we were all talking about.
Yes, sir.
And Bruce Pascoe wrote a story that's available right now on the Wildcaster app and Tucson.com about the last time Arizona played in New Mexico, there was a game clock malfunction. There was 4 seconds left on the clock, and New Mexico ran a play that they said when they run it in practice takes them 6 seconds. And when they scored the basket, Lute Olson made all kinds of ruckus that somebody did not hit that game clock until a couple seconds into the last possession. Arizona finally returns back to the Pit, a renewed rivalry, if you will. I mean, these teams have played each other ever since 1917, which is crazy to think.
Yes.
5 years after Arizona became a state.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because it's kind of a slow week for Arizona basketball.
Yeah, one of those one game weeks.
Yeah,
a whole lot going on.
Yeah,
Saturday.
Yeah, and I don't know. Usually Arizona basketball, there's some kind of drama going on.
Right. Well, I mean, I think what everyone has their eyes on right now is Riley Alkins and his return. Made his return in the Wildcats last game at McHale Center, and I think everybody's trying to see how he fits into this team, and they're excited for him, you know? So I think that's where a lot of this hype is right now is surrounding Riley Alkins and his return to 100%, which, as Sean Miller said in a press conference earlier this week, we don't know when he's going to be there. It could be now for all we know, but I think that's what everyone's kind of waiting on in Arizona basketball right now is when is Riley Alkins going to be good to go in the starting roster?
Yeah, and Alkins returned the last game against Alabama. He was out 10 weeks for a broken foot injury he suffered back in September. And, you know, just like they always say, you install somebody new, somebody's got to go. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the deepest teams Arizona's ever had. I mean, you're looking at a 10, 11-man rotation, but now with Raleigh back, it totally changes the rotation because Dylan Smith was getting heavy minutes to start the season. Emmanuel Acott was getting heavy minutes. And Sean Miller said Emmanuel Acott's still battling knee issues, mm-hmm. whatever that is. It's interesting, yeah. But anyways, let's.
Yeah, and Alonzo Chura is battling personal issues last year too.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyways, let's go ahead and hear what Sean Miller had to say in this week's press conference about Raleigh being back in the lineup.
He's a better player than he was last year, and I'm anxious for him to get to that level. Like I cautioned him and everybody, it's you just don't snap your fingers and magically he's there. There's going to be a process. Both for our team and for him, that process, thank goodness, has already started. And I think that each game he'll be more and more comfortable, and we will be more and more comfortable as a team with him.
So Saturday, does he start if he keeps playing well, or your brand is playing well too? So
yeah, we're not there yet. I don't know yet.
What does he add emotionally to the team? Feels like there's a little bit of a confidence boost with him back.
No doubt. You know, some guys have that confidence where you just look in the eye and you just know they believe in that they're ready. And when you have a group like ours, which we have so many new faces, I think it's really healthy to have somebody who has that confidence and that look in their eye that they believe. And Raleigh has both. It's just how he's wired. It's one of the characteristics that made him such a successful freshman a year ago because he was confident. And you know, Kobe Simmons was the same way. You know, both of those guys embodied a lot of confidence in themselves, in a belief in what we were doing, and you know that's the reason that we were able to have such a successful non-conference season with those two guys as starters a year ago, and Lowry as well.
So yeah, that was what Sean Miller said.
You know, the more I think about Raleigh's return, I know he's going to bring a lot back to this team, and Arizona's going to be better with him on the court, obviously, than in the first few weeks here. But think about how much fans are expecting out of Raleigh Alkins. I mean, this is a team that lost three games in a row in the Bahamas, and the sky was falling down. And and I mean, everyone kind of turned to Raleigh Alkins, and they said, okay, well, when Raleigh Alkins comes back, they're going to be better on defense. They're going to shoot the ball better. They're going to have that leadership face on the court at all times. They're going to have another guy in pressure situations at the end of games. Arizona's going to be better, but there's a lot of pressure on Raleigh Alkins to kind of get the Wildcats to where we expected them to be a few months ago. And no doubt, like I said, they're going to be better in every aspect of the game, I think. But what I'm looking at most, and I think I'm stealing this from Bruce Pascoe in an article earlier this week, his return's not about points or rebounds, assists, or defense. As much as the Wildcats need all those things, I think the biggest thing Sean Miller needs right now is a leader on the court. And that's, I mean, it's kind of one thing that's been missing all year. You have the quote-unquote senior leadership in Alonzo Trier, but they don't have that face on the court who's kind of calming and brings everyone together, and I've been saying that all season. And I think Raleigh Alkins can step in, and beyond his defense and his shooting or whatever he brings to the court, I think that's kind of the biggest thing that Sean Miller can benefit from is having that leader on the court.
And with Raleigh back, it's it's almost like Arizona fans were on their hands and knees begging for Raleigh Alkins to come back mm-hmm. after, you know, they like you said, they lose three games in the Bahamas, and they're like, oh, but wait till we get Raleigh back. Things are going to be so much better with him. He adds defense on the wing.
Absolutely.
He's going to guard probably the team's best player. I just don't think it's going to be similar to the way Trier came back, because Trier, one, was practicing with the team the entire time he had personal issues mm-hmm. last year. With the whole suspension for performance-enhancing drugs. He was still practicing with the team day in and day out.
Right.
Raleigh has not had that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you're going to see a really fully effective Raleigh Alkins until about maybe the second or third week in a Pac-12 play. Just because from what I saw, again, he played a lot more minutes than I thought he would.
Mm-hmm.
22 minutes.
For first action in 10 weeks,
for a game, 10 weeks
plus the entire
you were supposed to miss 8 to 12 weeks,
mm-hmm.
so you were right in that sweet spot of your recovery stage, and yet you still went in and played 22 minutes. I mean, yeah, you were shaking off the rust. You were trying to get the cobwebs off. He definitely looked out of shape. Mm-hmm. And by out of shape, I mean out of game shape, because Raleigh Alkins is far better shape than I will ever dream of. So, so, yeah, I mean, he definitely shaking off the rust. But I just don't think that he is that big savior that Arizona fans hope that he's going to be. And I know he wants to be that guy. Right. He would love to be that guy.
Well, I mean, you mentioned him being everyone's savior. I think the biggest thing Wildcats agree, and Sean Miller probably admit to it too, the biggest thing they need right now is a defensive stopper. And when you think of Raleigh Alkins last year, is that the first thing that pops into your mind? Is, oh, he was Arizona's best defender.
Nope.
I mean, he's a guy who kind of does it all, and he'll give you a lot of good minutes. And he spreads the floor, he guards the wing well, and he does a lot of impact plays for the Wildcats, but I don't see him coming back and leading this team in defensive efficiency out of the gate. He might be one of their best defenders, but that's not going to make him a top five team all of a sudden. Like you said, I think he's going to have to shake off the rust. He's going to have to get back into full form for us to see what he's really capable of this roster. I mean, this could take months or weeks. I mean, we don't know how long a process this is going to be, but we might not see the Wildcats hit their full form until halfway through the Pac-12 or until March. And we're talking about college basketball. That's all they need. If the Wildcats are rolling and hit the ground running in March, where we expect them to be in November, then I think they'll be happy. And I think that's what we need to look out for Raleigh Alkins developing over the next few months.
Do they beat New Mexico? That's the biggest question. Of course they're going to beat New Mexico. I don't even know why I asked that. So New Mexico, they have a new head coach, Paul Weir, who is, according to Bruce Pascoe, kind of like an abort hire mm-hmm. for New Mexico State. New Mexico lost a head coach, so they were like, all right, we got to find somebody quick. All right, let's just go find one of these local guys. Right. And, I mean, I'm not too familiar in the New Mexico area, but I know that UNM is far more superior than NMSU. So they got a new head coach. I can't really tell you too much about this team, but we were looking at the roster. They don't have any height whatsoever. They have a 6'9 guy, a couple of 6'10 guys, you know what I mean? So New Mexico was once a kind of a, I wouldn't say like a dark horse mid-major, but they always kind of moved under the radar. They had Steve Alford. UCLA's head coach. Right. He was their head coach
at
New Mexico. Bryce Alford was actually a New Mexico commit until Steve went over. Can you name
all those UCLA games over the past few years? How it would have been without the Alfords?
Oh man, interesting. Can you name a player in the NBA from New Mexico?
No,
I can only name one. Tony Snell.
Tony Snell, really? Yeah, he's still Grizzly.
Is he a Grizzly?
He was. Who am I thinking of?
He was a Bull for the longest time.
I'm thinking of Tony Allen. Who am I thinking of? I don't know. He was a Bull. You're right on that, though.
Yeah.
Anyways. I couldn't name anyone else.
He kind of reminds me of like a poor man's Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. Poor man's emphasis on.
All right. Well, that will do it for our Arizona basketball updates. Again, the Wildcats will take on New Mexico this Saturday on CBS Sports Network. You can follow along Bruce Pascoe. He'll be out there in Albuquerque at the Pit. Follow him on Twitter at Bruce Pascoe. And with that, the more stuff going on in the Arizona athletics area.
It's not all basketball these days.
The Wildcats are getting ready to play Purdue in the Foster Farms Bowl up there in Santa Clara and Levi Stadium. So without further ado, let's bring on the man himself, Michael Lev, Arizona football beat writer.
Mike.
We're here with Arizona Daily Star's Michael Lev. Michael, thanks for joining us. Bowl game action continuing as the Arizona Wildcats prepare to take on the Purdue Boilermakers in the Foster Farms Bowl up there in Santa Clara at Levi Stadium. And, I mean, it seems like it's so far away, yet it's so close. Michael, do you have any updates for us? I know you've been at practice this week. Just kind of what's the tone been like with this team, and what's kind of Rich Rod's vibe going forward?
Yeah, I think they view this as an opportunity to end the season
on a positive note. You know, they did not end the regular season on a positive note, as we know. You know, they lost three of their last four games. They should have probably beaten ASU, but they didn't. The reasons for that have been discussed ad nauseum. So, you know, to me, it's a chance to finish the season 8-5, which looks a lot better than 7-6. I don't think it really matters at the end of the day, you know, whom that comes at the expense of. 6-6 Purdue team. A lot of people actually, interestingly, are giving Purdue a really good chance to win this game. Wow. You know, I think they look at Jeff Brohm's coaching ability. He's considered a real riser in the business. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he got a better job than this in a year or two if he continues to, you know, to put Purdue in a positive direction. They also look at the fact that the Boilermakers are real pretty good on defense.
Yeah.
You know, they give up about 20 points a game, which is, you know, less than half of what Arizona averages. So I think it's going to be maybe closer than a lot of people initially thought, you know, based on what I'm hearing from a lot of people. But I also think it is a good opportunity for Arizona to close this season the way that they want to.
And Arizona also had some very big news earlier this week that the NCAA granted Sean Poindexter and Laith Frick an additional year of eligibility. However, the two situations completely different. Poindexter will play right away. Laith Frick will be two game suspension. I mean, I always thought you had to do something bad in order to be suspended. So kind of more of a, well, you played a lot this year. You were a starter. In order for you to come back, you're going to have to sit out two games, which I think is huge for Arizona considering.
Yeah, don't take those two games.
Yeah, exactly. Because Mihalcek is gone. That's your offensive line coach. And then plus you're losing a lot of veterans. I mean, having Laith Frick back on the offensive line adds an experienced guy and a veteran guy. And then even going across to Sean Poindexter, he's a big receiver. He kind of opened up the passing game a little bit later on this season under Khalil Tate. He showed what he can do. Like I said, he's a big body. Michael, I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on all this.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's try to explain to people why Laith has to sit out the first two games of next year. And I think the main reason is that, you know, he didn't really have a standard case. You know, most of the time, you know, if you play, it burns your redshirt year. That's it. That's the way the rules are right now. He didn't have a hardship argument to make. It wasn't an injury deal. He just happened to play in one game. So they decided that they would kind of do a 2-for-1. Mm-hmm. You played in one game, we'll make you sit out two, but we'll give you the rest of the year. So that's the price that Laith and the Wildcats have to pay. It's not ideal because they have two pretty tough opponents, I think, to start the season in BYU and Houston. It would have been nice if, you know, one of those games that he had to sit out was, you know, the game against Southern Utah, which is game three. But it'll also give a younger guy like maybe a Bryson Cain a chance to get in there and get his feet wet, so to speak. You know, you mentioned the turnover on the offensive line. I mean, they would have lost 4 of 5 starters.
Wow.
Plus their offensive line coach if they didn't get this year back for Laith Frick. Instead, they lose 3 of 5. Some of the guys who are coming back have starting experience, like Cody Creason, who could be the right tackle or maybe the right guard or left guard. Michael Elitis has played. Theo Lacusa, the transfer from Michigan State, guy who played at, you know, a really good school as a true freshman. He's probably going to start, and he's another guy who has college experience. So I think, you know, you go from like a really shaky situation to an offensive line that could be pretty good again, anchored by a couple of all-conference candidates in Laith Frick and Nathan Eldridge. Now, as far as Sean Poindexter goes, he's still pretty raw.
Yes.
You know, he initially went to college to play volleyball, and then a family situation came up. And he basically, you know, worked for a couple years. Like he worked as a busboy, and he worked at a Cinnabon, and he worked as an electrician. Then he decided to resume his athletic career as a football player. He's played for 3 years, 2 at Arizona and 1 at Glendale Community College. They love his work ethic. They love his endurance. He's a guy who can just run all day. He's 6'5". He's a demon on special teams. He's a great blocker. He's not fully formed as a receiver, but I think having a full off season to work with Khalil Tate, to work with the coaches, another year in the strength and conditioning program will do him wonders. I don't see him as like a star player, but definitely as a solid Pac-12 starter, a guy with a lot of experience and physicality. And now if you look at that receiving core, almost everybody's back. The only one who isn't is Tyrell Johnson. I even though Tony Ellison has started less than half the games, I'd consider him a starter. Sean Brown is a starter. Devon Cooper is a guy who has pushed for playing time. Another unit that I think coming into this past season was looked at as a weakness could probably be viewed as a strength in 2018.
Wow. Yeah, and the receiver situation is interesting because Khalil Tate never really got going with any of these guys throughout the entire course of the season. But, I mean, you saw him lean on guys like Tony Ellison and Sean Poindexter in a couple big situations. So, yeah, exactly. So I'm sure Tate's going to be happy, especially seeing
Poindexter
back in the roster next year. Now, Michael, I know you have to be happy about – I guess I'll get to this in a second, but Wildcats kind of see their accolades continue rolling in, not the huge ones that I think a lot of us expected them to get at the end of the regular season. But guys like Jacob Alsadek, Athlon Sports named to the All-Pac-12 first team. They also, Then also named Shun Brown, guys like J.J. Taylor, Colin Schooler, Khalil Tate. So a lot of these guys that have been getting kind of those honorable mentions are now getting some of those more hefty awards and mentions. I know you're happy with Athlon's list that they named Clay Helton the Pac-12 Coach of the Year. But
Athlon is very reputable, right? I mean, they've been doing this for a long time. I think 50 years, if I'm not mistaken,
really?
Or something like that. They've been putting out their annual a long time. Let's just put it that way.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, one of the more reputable outlets in the business. And I just feel like they got it right. You know, that the Pac-12 coaches messed up in a couple areas. They should have had Jacob Alsadek on the first or second team. There's really no excuse to not have one Arizona lineman when you lead the league in scoring, rushing, and total offense, and give up the fewest sacks. I mean, I don't know what else there is that you can do as an offensive line. Sean Brown, without question, should have been the second team return specialist. The stats say that. His performance says that. I don't know why he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the coach of the year, there was really no obvious answer for that. I think, you know, Todd Graham probably deserved it more than anyone, but can you vote the guy who got fired as the coach of the year? Probably not.
That's crazy.
He beat Rich Rod head-to-head, so that kind of eliminates Rich Rod. You know, the Pac-12 coaches picked David Shaw. Well, I mean, they had a fine year. They went 7-2. They made the Pac-12 championship game, but they also lost twice to USC. Now, I know that USC is like the presumed favorite every single year. They were supposed to be in the college football playoffs, so, you know, how can you vote Clay Helton? Well, they had an almost all-new receiving core this year that caused a lot of issues for Sam Darnold early in the season. They had a ton of injuries on their offensive line, and they lost one conference game the entire year.
Without a bye week.
The Pac-12 championship.
That's crazy.
And to me, that's a pretty darn good year for, I think, an underestimated coach in Clay Helton.
And we talked a little about what the offensive line will look like next year, and of course it's going to help getting some of that leadership back. But what is, I mean, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but I mean, how are they going to fill that void that Jacob Alsadek leaves on that offensive line? And how is Khalil Tate going to kind of settle in there next year?
Jacob Alsadek's going to be a hard guy to replace just from a leadership standpoint. He just has that certain personality, you know, where he can kind of take over the meeting room. I mean, Rich Rod described him as kind of a student coach earlier this week. So, I mean, that should just give you some idea of what he brings to the table just from an intangible standpoint. So that's hard to quantify. That's hard to replace. I think Nathan Eldridge, the center, kind of has that personality. I don't really see Leif Freck, in that mold. He's more of the leader by example type guy. But it sort of happens naturally, especially at those line positions. I mean, those guys are, you know, there's just a bond that forms, among those guys. And I think it'll evolve and someone will emerge. You know, as far as taking his actual position, could be an Alex Kaczynski, a guy who's been in the system for several years now, It could be Cody Creason moving from right tackle if Theo Lacusa, the transfer, is able to play on the outside there. Maybe you kick a Creason inside. As far as Tate goes, I mean, I think having a full year, knowing you're the man and getting all that time with the receivers, with the first unit and the off-season workouts, I think that's going to do him wonders. We always talk about the importance of timing for quarterbacks, and the best way to get your timing down, you know, is to work with the guys that you're actually going to play with in the games. And Khalil will have the opportunity to do that this upcoming offseason, whereas before he's probably working more with the second team guys because Brandon Dawkins was still on that lead role.
Yeah. All right, and again, that's Arizona Daily Star football beat writer Michael Lev. Michael, before we let you go, you've been to the Bay Area more times than I have. If there is any place that I should go grab a bite to eat that you and I should get, what are you recommending?
Well, I mean, yeah, of course I'm going to try to show you around as best I can. And you have to go to the Girardelli chocolate shop. For one, which is, you know, it's a kind of a San Francisco thing. You know, they have amazing brownies, ice cream,
the fudge sundae,
et cetera. Yeah, those hot fudge sundaes
are
absurd. Yeah,
unbeatable.
It's pretty ridiculous. I don't know if you like Indian food,
I do.
Justin, but one of my favorite places up there is called Naan and Curry. hopefully it's still around. They do a really good lunch buffet. I think you can get the buffet for dinner also. It was kind of like the place where I discovered Indian food in Berkeley several years ago. So those would be just a couple of many, many good options. I think the challenge we're going to have, my man, is going up there like on Christmas Day. Like, what's going to be open? that could be tough. So we'll have to really do our research, and hopefully the Yelp app will come through. It usually does for me.
If Ghirardelli is open, that's going to be a pretty clutch Christmas night. It's a little snack, a little treat. So, you know, treat yourself with some Ghirardelli fish sundaes.
Oh, man. Nothing like quite like a late night sundae when it's 45 degrees outside.
Hey, that hot fudge gets it done, though.
It does. It absolutely does.
I'm all about that Indian food, though. I'm a big tikka masala guy. And it's called Naan and Curry?
Naan and Curry.
What a better place to have a restaurant named Naan and Curry than in the Bay Area with Steph Curry right there.
Yeah, let's shake and bake.
I like it. I like it. All right, well, that's Michael Lev, Arizona Daily Star football beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael J. Lev. Michael, thanks for joining the podcast.
Thanks, you guys. See ya.
Take care. All right, well, that will do it. That's Michael Lev. That is Dom. I am Justin. Again, don't forget to download the free, it is free, Wildcaster app. We got everything that you need, podcast, videos, all the stories that you need from the Foster Farms Bowl, Arizona basketball. You got it, or we got it, but you should listen. You should watch. Download that free Wildcaster app. And also, don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. For Dom, I'm Justin. We'll see you next time.